We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This season, all your favorites have one home for the holidays. Yours with Disney Plus.
Merry Christmas!
Moana, Woody, Buzz, Captain Marvel, Darth Vader, and Homer will all be there, so make room. Make Disney Plus your home for the holidays, streaming Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, Nat Geo, and 30 seasons of The Simpsons. That's something to celebrate.
Merry Christmas to you!
All these and more now streaming. Go to DisneyPlus.com to sign up now.
At Metro, the best deal in wireless is on. Switch to Metro and get one full Amazon Prime membership included every month. Plus, get two free phones from top brands like Samsung and LG with huge HD screens. All with two lines for just $90. That's the best deal in wireless, only at Metro.
Plus sales tax and activation fee. Requires porting of eligible number not currently active on T-Mobile network or active on Metro in past 90 days. Limit 4 per account or household. Offer subject to change. Offer valid for new Amazon Prime members. Amazon Prime has a $12.99 per month value. Restrictions apply. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Welcome to the Barcelona Podcast, episode 76. It's Unmissable Opinions, brought to you by the most influential voices in the FC Barcelona community. Thanks again for tuning in. You can tap in your app and check out the show notes to leave a review wherever you're listening. And you can find us on social media too. We're on Twitter at the Barcelona Pod or at HiltonD13, and on Instagram at the Barcelona Pod. You can also check out the show notes for all other types of goodies, including our Patreon page where you can help contribute to the show, as well as special ads from our show sponsors. I'm Dan Hilton. If you're just joining us for the first time, he's going to be Francesc Tomàs, and he was joined by a name you might not know today for our interview, but you certainly should. It's Toni Freire, an ex-Barcelona board member. Now let's get right into it.
Okay, thank you, Dan. As you say, we are welcoming someone really, really, really important, and we're honored to have him in our show. It's Toni Freire, the former president of the FCB World Peñas Federation. Toni, it's a pleasure to have you. How are you today?
Hello, thank you for having me here. It's my honor to participate in your program, so thank you for having me here.
Of course, it's an absolute pleasure. I've been following your work as a board member, and obviously since, and it's great to have you. I know that you've done a lot of work around the world. As the Barcelona podcast, we're meeting and talking to different people around the world. But you've been doing that for many, many years. So what does it feel like to meet so many diverse Barca fans around the world?
That's the beauty from all of this. Meeting people with the same passion, the same love for a club, for a color, for a mentality. Barca is not just supporting for a football team. It's a way of life. It's a very important item for the people who we call culés. So meeting people with the same dreams and the same passion as I have is the greatest thing about this.
Well, that's precisely why we do it. So I can definitely sympathize with your feelings there. Now, I do know that you now live in Belgium and you've started doing work in there with a local Peña. How's that going?
Great. I'm originally from Barcelona, from Badalona. But, in Barcelona, after the Olympics game, it was not a lot of work. So I moved to Belgium, meet my wife. And the first thing that I did once I was married was creating my own Peña. So I founded a Peña here in Belgium. It grew very fast. And that was the moment that I realized that the passion of Barça is everywhere. And yeah, it's great. It's what we say before, meeting people around the world and where I live in Belgium, but the same passion, it makes my life here easier.
Yeah,
adapt to the mentality and the way of life in Belgium.
Of course, you got the connection there, and once you've got that feeling and that understanding, then it's much easier to get to know people. Obviously, I've been living in London for 16 years now, and going to the Peña Blaugrana London is one of my connections to basically my roots, isn't it? You did say you grew up in Catalonia, so what was that like? What was your connection to Barça as a child and as a teenager?
Yeah, when you grow up in Barcelona, it's impossible to avoid the passion for Barcelona. And I had a direct link with my uncle, the brother of my mother. He was he worked for the former president of FC Barcelona, Núñez.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to pick me up when I was a little child in the basic school. And I go to see a training, and it was the time that Maradona plays in Barcelona in 83. And I will never forget that moment that you get into the stadium, because they trained, the training was at Camp Nou.
Mm-hmm.
And they were training there, and training finished, I get a little ball, and all players come to sign the ball, and Maradona makes some tricks. And you never forget that. When I get older, and then you have more understanding about that moment. And you start saying, why don't we have at that moment mobile phones with the photo camera on and a lot of memories? But that is what the moment that I start being really a passionate culé.
Wow.
So I followed the game, but beating Maradona and being in Camp Nou was just a very special moment for me.
That is a tremendous story. Wow. I don't have any words to follow that up. Do you think there's a connection with Messi there? Is that how people feel with Messi nowadays? Or is the increase in technology, because obviously you made reference to mobile phones, is the connection to technology and, you know, the immediateness of having social media at your fingertips changing things? Or do you think children will be as honored to see Messi as you were to meet Maradona?
Yeah, I think the people are still have the same. So the passion when you see your idol, it live. I have seen it in my kids. So it's still there. What I think that has lose a little bit of value is the memorabilia. In the past, if you had a shirt, it was unbelievable. You had that shirt. I know everybody has a shirt from Barcelona with for a former player or signed, or I don't know if I explain clearly.
Yeah, no, you do. It's much easier to get access to anything the players make, isn't it?
Yeah, but for the kid, like my son, if he could meet Messi, he won't sleep for a week. Messi. His room is full. Everything is Messi. So it's the passion and the love for your idol is still there.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, I'm a bit older than your son, obviously, and I do have Messi around. It's not my room as such, but it's the recording studio upstairs. So, yeah, I can definitely sympathize with that as well.
Some years ago, when Rijkaard was the coach on Barcelona, I arranged with the Peña members, with my daughter, she was little, a visit to the Gamper tournament. And we were invited to see a training from the first team. The big star was at that moment Ronaldinho. And everybody wanted a photo with Ronaldinho. All my members, myself, wanted a photo with Ronaldinho. And there was a little guy walking around the players. And my wife told me, Tony, go and make a picture with that guy there. I say, no, I don't know. It was a young guy. I want Ronaldinho. And my daughter make a picture. A lot of members of my Peña make a picture. And that guy was Messi. So I was years complaining, and I didn't make a picture. And we found a picture. After a few years, a Peña member come with a picture where I was with Messi when he started training with the first team.
So you did take it in the end.
I take it, but I didn't remember. And not my wife take the picture, but a friend. And after a couple of years, I get that picture. But at that moment, I was, who is Messi? Who is that guy? I don't know who is that guy. I want to have Ronaldinho. He is the great player and the big player. And then you see, a couple of years ago, the year after that, he played unbelievable. And yeah, now Messi is the best player ever. So,
absolutely. Wow. Okay.
Luckily you did get it.
Some of us are not as fortunate as that. So there you go. Now, I do know that obviously you've been a Barca board member and you've collaborated with Barca for many, many years. And obviously, whenever you're involved in a job of such magnitude, actually, it comes with a lot of work because you need to sacrifice a lot of hours voluntarily, really, but also a lot of criticism. So how do you prepare mentally for such a job that basically everyone's going to have an opinion on?
This is a passion. It's something that we love to do. And it's like everything. You know that you cannot do well for everybody. A lot of people have also another image about what the job is. So they see the moment that maybe I have a meeting with a board member, or I have a meeting where I participate in an activity from a Peña, but they don't see all the work and the time and the effort that we do to accomplish things for all the Peñas. So we ask always to receive positive feedback, and if there are complaints, that they are constructive, so we can go and make it in a we can find a positive solution. But we realize that it's impossible to do everything perfect for everybody.
Yeah, and it's the same with everything, isn't it? I mean, in my job as such, it's the same. You try your absolute best, and you have to sort of stick to what you think is right, and you have to take decisions that ultimately not everyone's going to like. So in what you're explaining there, what was your most difficult moment out of the whole of it?
Since I have this job, I had some peñas that, for example, has to stop working because we noticed that there was a business behind the peña. And the moment that you say to peña members, okay, sorry, we cannot continue working this way, the dissolution with the people who mean well, that's very difficult. And then also when you are working for a project and you think everything is done and everything is ready, and then the club, FC Barcelona, says, okay, no, we're going to stop here. And then you have invest a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of things that you know that the Peñas will profit of, and then it stopped.
Yeah, very interesting. So changing gears, what's the most successful? What are you the most proud of everything you've done for Barca?
For Barca, what I do is not for Barca, it's for the Peñas. You have to understand that I'm president of the federation. I am elected by my Peña members. So, in fact, what we do is go a lot of times against Barca.
Right.
Because we want to have more advantages and more things for our Peña members, for all the Peñas who are affiliated to the federation. And that means that sometimes we have to argue with the club, not agree on everything. But maybe what I am most proud of is that the communication between Peñas has improved a lot. In the past, for example, if there were two Peñas in the same country, they look at each other as enemies. Who Peña has the most number of members? I want to have more tickets for the Clásico. I want to. And we started a process within the federation to change the mentality and to make understand that, look, each is a Peña, but at the end, we are all one Peña. So we need to support each other and to help each other wherever we can to grow, because the growth of one Peña is good for the growth of the other Peña. And I noticed that has changed. The mentality has changed a lot. If you see now, we have Trubadas in France. We have Trubada in Morocco. I know that they are organizing some things in Asia. I have heard that in the States now, they are creating a great contact between the American Peñas. So that's very important.
Well, good. I think that we probably are helping a little bit with that as well. Obviously, we can't take too much credit, but the North American Peñas, because, you know, let's face it, this is an English podcast, so Peñas that can't speak in English in the show actually are the ones that we've got a better connection with. But the sense that I get from them is that they actually feel like a big family and with a common objective, like a Peña of LA, and obviously you've got Chicago, Montreal, Toronto, Washington, all, you know, every single one that's been on the show. They do it because of the reasons you mentioned. It's because of their passion, because of their love. And I think, especially in the US, there's a lot of togetherness coming up. And I think that's a success.
I agree. I was a week ago in Barcelona, and I met the guys from San Francisco. Great guys, great atmosphere. So I know that the Peñas in the States are very active with a lot of passion. So I'm sure that everything will go well there.
Well, if we can do a little bit to help, that's what we're trying to do. I don't really want to ask you too much about the club, but I think this question is in everyone's mouth sort of thing. So how do you rate the chances of conquering the treble, the triplete, this season?
You know, we play 11 against 11 and the ball is round. So everything can happen. We don't play the spectacular football like, for example, the time from Guardiola. But if you look at the results and the numbers from this team and from Guardiola, this team has better numbers. So it's you never know. I never expected yesterday City to lose the way they lose, and they lose. So I think we have a chance. We can win the treble. We will see. It depends a little bit of luck also.
Yeah, of course. And at this level of competition, especially, let's hope that we get into the semifinals. I mean, it's 4-1 against Roma. It's quite clear that we've got a fantastic chance of making it.
I think this team deserve the confidence from the fans, for the supporters. they are not playing the spectacular football, but they have the results, and they're still going on. We haven't lost in the league, in the Copa we play well till the final, and in the Champions League we are almost in the half finals. If I remember in August, the reaction of the fans and of the people about the team, everybody won't believe that we have this result this year.
Of course, I agree. I went into another podcast, I think it was late August, and they asked me that. They said, do you think Barca are going to win the treble? And I said, well, the team is under construction, so yeah. I mean, there's no reason to think that we won't do it. We've got Messi, we've got Suarez, we've got Iniesta, so as long as the team solidifies and gets consistent, we've got a chance. And they all laughed at me. You know, I had a lot of people just like, this guy's crazy, he's too biased, which obviously I have to be because I'm a Barca fan, I was born in Barcelona, and that's what I do with a passion like you do. But yeah, they called me crazy back then.
And now who's laughing?
Well, hopefully us. Give it another couple of months and it will be us laughing. Tony, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Where can our listeners follow your work?
Thank you very much. Ah, yes, on the Facebook from the Federation, and on the website, who will be published in a couple of weeks from the Federation. So it's just worldfed.org, and on Facebook, just World Federation.
Perfect. We'll also put it in our show notes. So if you're listening on the app now, just tap on your app and look for Tony Freire's name on the show notes, and that will take you to his details so you can keep up to date with his work. Tony, muchas gracias.
Muchísimas gracias. Una abrazada.
A lot of interesting stuff to unpack in there. Unfortunately, we'll have to do that on a future show, but now is the time to talk about our wonderful show sponsor today, Hims, a new wellness brand for men. Today is a day, Frances, of tongue and cheek talk, as last time we had Hims on, it was for balding, but this time it's a little different because we are talking about ED. It's a problem a lot more guys deal with than you think. Instead of using 4 Hims, which connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat ED with well-known generic equivalents to name-brand expensive prescriptions, they try these weird solutions online that they found Googled on the internet or found on YouTube. While I don't want to get too much into the weeds about Messi's manhood, though, again, for Hims asked us to talk about it in relative Barcelona terms. So again, I'm not going to get into Messi's manhood, but we know the guy has a hat trick of kids already. And instead of making everyone uncomfortable, Frances, I want to pose this question to you and kind of get into the question on how receptive you are to legacies at Barcelona and in football in general. Of course, you remember Jordi Cruyff, and there are plenty more. John Baquero is the son of José María Baquero of Barcelona, but the younger Baquero actually played college soccer here in the States, was the National Player of the Year last year, and now is trying to get off the bench at the Chicago Fire, so I doubt we're going to see him at Barcelona in his career. However, Justin Kluivert, who plays for Ajax, son of course Patrick Kluivert, is one that could potentially be at Barcelona in the future, and there's no one more famous in terms of lineage than Carlos Busquets' son, and that name, last name at least, does sound relatively familiar. Of course, that is Sergio Busquets' father, who was a former goalkeeper at Barcelona. And now, in most cases, Frances, you do hear about it, where it looks like John Baquero is not going to have the career that his father did, and Justin Kluivert certainly has to have a really good career to match his father, but then Sergio Busquets kind of bypassed Carlos Busquets. Now, what do you think of the advantages and disadvantages of being a child of a famous footballer?
Well, it's pretty clear that having that surname is going to open a lot of doors. I do think, and I know this for a fact because he was growing up pretty much at the same time as my brother was, that Sergio Busquets was actually not that good of a player growing up. He was always very lanky, very tall, but he wasn't that skilled on the ball, and he actually had to learn in order to develop. Within his local team, Badia del Vallès, he sort of, because of his physicality more than anything, he stood up as one of the best players in there, and that basically helped him sign for Barca. But I think the surname and the connection definitely helped make that jump towards the Camp Nou, or at least La Masia, and the youth system. Now, once he was there, it was all about learning. He was incredibly hardworking. He had the best coaches around, and he took advantage of many situations which he had to work incredibly hard to. And actually, growing up in Barcelona, once he was already there, he actually sort of refused to be known as Busquets, and he wanted to be called Sergio throughout, simply because that added pressure he actually didn't want. But we really can doubt that it is much easier to open doors when you've got a surname, but obviously it gets to a point that can actually put too much pressure on your shoulders, and Sergio Busquets and Carlos Busquets is a clear example of that.
So again, if you want to make sure that, like Carlos Busquets, you have a footballing offspring, 4Hims is the answer. Again, no snake oil pills or gas station solutions. They connect you with a doctor, a real doctor, and after a few quick questions, you get a product shipped directly to your door. So try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4Hims.com/BarcelonaED. That's FORHIMS.com/BarcelonaED. 4Hims.com/BarcelonaED. And with that, I think it's time for another edition of La Ronda, Frances. Ready to go?
Let's do it.
Coming up first, SC Lanny on Twitter asks, great job and love listening from Barcelona. And we do appreciate the positive feedback when we get it. So hello to SC Lanny in Paris. Is it really possible for the team not to be so resilient or reliant on Messi? And if so, how? And of course, Frances and I talked at length in TB Pod 75. You can again go to tbpod.link/75 and get all the news about Messi dependence, what Frances and I thought of that. But to simply answer this question, I think, Frances, it would be the continued integration of Coutinho, at least in the Liga, and Dembele are being the two most important factors in getting away from having to solely be reliant on Messi offensively.
Oh, undoubtedly. And also, I think since we recorded the show last week, there's been a bit of an update, which is that Messi hasn't been feeling 100%. Obviously, he decided to rest. And please note the word decided. He decided to rest while away on international duty with Argentina. And since he's come back, he hasn't been at his absolute best. And Barca have not been as fluent in attack as they normally are, simply because of their dependence on Messi. Suarez obviously has been scoring whenever he's had a chance, but then again, the creativity, the flow, the rhythm just hasn't been there as a unit. You know, the Barca starting 11 and whoever's come on as a sub haven't really managed to make that much of a difference and add the necessary dynamism up front, particularly because defensively, let's face it, we're quite solid most of the time. So it's all about Messi stepping it up, because this team is made for Messi to excel, and when Messi doesn't, the team is not as great. But, you know, it's absolutely impossible for Barca not to depend on Messi, because otherwise he wouldn't be doing the best player on earth absolute service.
Well, let's keep talking about Messi and potential rest. We had three different questions on this topic. Ashen Fire asks, as well as Jose and Nigia. And their three questions are, do you think Messi should be rested against Leganés? And of course, would Evie rest Messi for the next couple of games, including Leganés and Roma? At the same time, we also need to rest Suarez, Iniesta, Busquets, Rakitic, who never gets any rest, and Pique, who of course is dealing with that injury that we know about all too well. And how many players of those should get rested against Leganés? And again, we still have in our back of our minds that unbeaten streak, and it looks like if Messi's performance against Sevilla over the weekend was any indication, that unbeaten streak does mean a little something to at least the people at Barcelona and the players in the team. But I don't know. I think for Valverde, he's shown his hand many, many times. He doesn't rest a ton of players. And so you'd expect that Busquets probably won't get the start as he continues to recover from injury. And I'd say that Messi, if he's ready to go and fit, that he'll play. But potentially Messi comes off the bench. But I think the rest of those, Suarez, Pique, Rakitic, are still all going to start. And for Iniesta, he might not start with Dembele having not played against Roma. So Dembele and Coutinho will probably start for me.
Yes, and I was talking to my friends at Peña Blaugrana London yesterday. And I want to say thank you to them for welcoming me for the Roma game. And I was speaking to several of the members. And everyone seems to be quite hyped for this unbeaten run that I just don't seem to understand. But I think after being there yesterday, I realized that probably I'm the weird one. Most people actually want to keep it up. But, you know, if it was up to me, I would rest everyone you just mentioned. You know, we're Barca, given the quality of our bench, we should be able to beat Leganés at home. I'm not going to say without any problems, but definitely we should be able to beat them. I would play Ter Stegen, Semedo, then I would put Mina, probably Vermaelen. I'll probably keep Umtiti in there because for me, Vermaelen probably needs to play left back, because Jordi Alba needs a rest. I would say in the middle, probably play Sergi Roberto together with, say, Rakitic, because I definitely think Busquets should, without a doubt, be rested, because actually he had to be substituted against Roma because of not feeling very well. And Valverde even, he never really does, but even yesterday after the game, he did say Busquets asked to be substituted, so definitely he shouldn't start. Then I would place Coutinho. I would give Dembele a game, and I think there's several questions about Dembele coming up, so I'm not going to say too much now. but I would start Dembélé. Please note that I would say as a right midfielder, I'm not saying as a right winger, simply because Valverde is very focused on Dembélé doing the defensive job that actually he hasn't really been doing, particularly over the last week. And up front, I will have probably Luis Suarez. I would keep him on, but I will have Alcácer. And that's my team for me. And in the mix, you could add Denis Suarez there somewhere as well. I mean, let's face it, those players should be more than enough to beat Leganés. And they just have to justify their wages and step it up.
Yeah, that's a good point. Leganés at the first half of La Liga was very, very good. And you're going to see a lot of a similar game to a team that's also in and around Madrid, and that's Getafe, where these games are going to look very similar. And against Leganés, who started the season defensively, just again, outstanding, a top five defense in the league. They have struggled basically since the midpoint of the season, and they've dipped a little bit, but still they're not a relegation fight, and they're going to be no pushover nevertheless. But I think, as you said, Barcelona's bench at least should be talented enough on paper to at least give Leganés a run for their money. And as we've talked about, the Madrid derby this weekend is probably more important for Barcelona really running away from the league than anything else, where it's a quandary that Real Madrid is in. If Real Madrid beats Atletico Madrid, they basically give the league to Barcelona outright. But meanwhile, if Atletico Madrid gets those points and Real Madrid loses those points, then of course Real Madrid hate the fact that they're farther off the mark than Barcelona. So really for Barca, it's almost a win-win situation the way you look at it. But nevertheless, as I've said, they need to get, and you said this as well, where Denis Suarez, I think he has earned a start against Leganés. No, he's not going to start against Roma or an important game against Sevilla. He'll start against Leganés, and I think he's earned, at least in his last two appearances now, those substitute appearances against Sevilla and Roma, that he could probably get a start. And Paulinho, in the same respect, Paulinho should be able to start in this game. And I know people are calling for his head, but I wouldn't be surprised if he also is out there for 60, 70, or potentially the full 90.
He probably will be, to be honest, with Paulinho's case. But I think he's one, probably, I think he actually is the one player that actually needs a rest more than anybody. The guy doesn't have any batteries left. And also, second point, André Gómez, we haven't mentioned, have we? You know, we're talking about the bench getting minutes in order to save the Leganés game. And André Gómez is not even in the picture. I think it's quite clear what needs to happen to definitely André Gómez in the summer.
Yeah, certainly. Well, speaking of a guy that we hope stays at the club, so going another direction there, Danny asks, should we take Umtiti kissing the badge after he thought he had scored at least? Of course, it winds up being an own goal against Roma. Seems like a statement was being made. I'd say so. And Francesco, goes back to what we had talked about in the last show, where there's a feeling that Umtiti isn't going anywhere. Of course, his buyout clause is very low. And again, after the Neymar saga from last season, yes, there are different personality-wise, but they're all professional footballers and money talks. And if a big club decides to buy him out and spend major money to get Umtiti, say a Manchester City over the summertime, then maybe he's not at the club anymore. But with that kiss of the badge, it seems like maybe this whole thing is just a negotiating tactic to make sure Barcelona take the bait and pay him what he believes he's worth, and what we've kind of said that, yeah, I think he might be worth that much as well.
Yeah, of course, I agree. But, you know, you've got Umtiti, who's starting every single game. He's been tremendous throughout, definitely this year, also last year. But this year he stepped it up another level. But the guy gets paid less than Alcácer and Paulinho. So if I was him, I would definitely ask for a pay rise. Now, is it worth the 9 million a season that he's demanding? And then again, this is reportedly demanding. Probably not. But 7.5, 8 million a season, I would definitely give him, because that's what Alcácer and Paulinho are getting. And it's just money that the guy does deserve. And then I've been thinking about this long and hard throughout the whole week, because people, I did a survey in BarcaBlog.com and also on the Twitter at the Barcelona Pod, and the fans are saying, 80 to 85% of the listeners are saying, yeah, we should definitely give him the 9 million. But actually, I don't think so. I think he needs to be more reasonable and settle between the 7.5 to 8 million euros, which is a lot of money for a defender. And then, you know, if he wants to leave, so be it. You know, we want players at Barca that feel the badge. We want players at Barca that want to be here. If he's using this whole situation as a negotiating tactic, then great, because honestly, hand in heart, I would do the same. But if he needs to go, then he can go, and we'll just have to pick up the pieces and find a replacement. But having said that, I don't think he's going anywhere. And I want to understand and I want to believe that he wants to stay, and it's all to get a better wage, which is justifiable, to be honest.
I want to give a thank you as well to Frankie and to Stefano for the Dembele questions, which we did speak about, where he did not play against Roma. And speaking of that Roma game, Arsacio, Naveen, and Anit all had questions about that Roma game and kind of about the air of being pessimistic or optimistic, where Arsacio brings up the result that 4-1 is not a bad result compared to what happened to the favorites in Man City, and he puts favorites in quotes there, but surely the team and some individual performances like Rakitic and Semedo deserve a little bit of praise. And yet also Anit mentions that we look slow and we look tired even though we scored 4 goals, and it was a really weird defensive game. And so, Frances, I'm still a little positive about this, where when people are criticizing the way Barcelona are playing, I just am not seeing it. Where even against, I think we're now almost misremembering the past a little bit, that yes, Xavi is Xavi, and Iniesta is still there, playing the game. But I think we're misremembering a little bit of the past, that with under Pep, under Luis Enrique, and all those years in between, the way Barcelona plays and the Barcelona style of play over the last 15 years has been to wear down opponents. So, of course, across the years, first halves have always been slower than the second half. And in the second half, when the opposition finally wears down from that thick Barcelona press, that's when the goals start coming in. And it doesn't matter if it's 2 own goals or 4 goals scored by Messi from half field. It doesn't matter how the goals are coming. Barcelona still won that one 4-1. And the other point about the defense is, yes, since the international break ended and Ter Stegen was a little banged up, they've come back. And yes, the defense has looked a little out of sorts. But I would just say again, just be calm about that. Look at the season as a total whole, that even when the defense looks to have terribly struggled against Roma, they let up 1 goal at home. And I know it's just 1 goal and it's an away goal, but I think that's beside the point. I think we're just being a little bit too pessimistic. And if Real Madrid hadn't manhandled Juventus the way they did the day before, I think that's in the back of our minds as culés, that we have to continue to try to judge and compare ourselves against the way Real Madrid is doing. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. First leg, Barcelona win 4-1. They've got 1 foot in the next round, just like Bayern Munich, just like Real Madrid and the other Champions League favorites. And I guess good for Liverpool for stepping on Man City. So again, Barcelona are now in a position to be into the semifinal, and then we'll deal with that round then.
Yes, to me, it really does not matter what Real Madrid do. I mean, I have to admit, I tried to sit down to watch the game and they just bore me. You know, I know they play fairly well, but it's just not my team, you know, and I prefer to just ignore what Madrid is doing. They apparently Ronaldo scored a goal that has been repeated 97 million times.
But it's good. Wait. I just want to cut in and say that the goal was great. I mean, as I've said, like, Ronaldo is one of the best players ever to play, and it was a beautiful goal. Full stop. That's it. But we don't have to dwell on that. It's not that Messi has to beat that. It's again, comparing the two is silly when they're not going up against each other one on one. Again, it's a great goal. Congratulations, Ronaldo. That's it.
Yeah, precisely. And that's it. He's not my team. He scored a great goal and congratulations to him. And, you know, that's it. There really doesn't need to be any more discussion on that. Focusing on my team, we didn't play very well. We were not convincing enough. But then again, we've lost 1 match out of the last 47. We lost the 2 Supercopa matches against Madrid. Then we went 29 games unbeaten. Then we lost an irrelevant match against Espanyol in La Copa. And the 17 matches after that, we haven't lost. We're still unbeaten. We've got 31 clean sheets in 49 games. We have received the least amount of goals in the Champions League, only 3. And only Atletico Madrid received less goals in La Liga. That's 15 to 14. We've got Piqué, Jordi Alba, Busquets, Iniesta, Rakitic, Messi, Luis Suarez in our team. They're experienced people, they're talented people that know exactly how to administer advantages. They know exactly when to step up and they are incredibly experienced. We are very, very close to the treble, you know, and that is the word that people are mentioning in the streets, so we have to mention it as well. We're not that far from it. We've got 4.5 matches in Champions League. Hopefully, we manage to qualify, I think, in the semifinals, because let's face it, unless disaster strikes, we are already there. We need to win 5 out of the 8 Liga matches. That's assuming that Atletico Madrid are going to win every point, which, let's face it, is not going to happen. And we've got Sevilla to beat in the Copa del Rey finals, so that is incredibly positive. However, the match against Roma was not very good. Didn't play attractive football, but then Valverde's team has never really played attractive football as such. It's just more about solidity. It's all about consistency. It's all about solidarity. Particularly the first half was pretty boring, but it was all about getting the Roma players tired and basically not conceding. Then after the half, there was plenty of spaces appearing. We did take advantage of them, and I think 4-1 is too much of a reward considering how well, within inverted commas, we played. But then again, it's a 4-1 in a quarterfinals. We haven't made the semifinals in the Champions League in 3 years. Don't forget that. So as unimpressed we are with the performance, the results seem to be good. And maybe this is the way that Valverde is making this Barca. You know, the brilliance of Guardiola and the first season, or the first half, the second half of the season with Luis Enrique, is probably never going to come back. But this team is solid, which is what the previous Luis Enrique team didn't have in the last couple of seasons. And we are slowly but surely pushing towards the treble with what we have. And what we have is a team that has Messi as the center, Luis Suarez as the other star, and then 9 more people working as hard as they can to make sure that they enable those two stars to take the reign. But that's the puzzle that Valverde is presenting, and that's the team right now.
And our last question from Fabiano, and this will be a quick one. And speaking of future stars, what's your thoughts on the whole Elenia situation? Should he be loaned out in the summer or stay with the first team going forward through next year? And for me, Frances, he'll be turning 21 during that season. I would like to see him loaned out to a team in the Girona Celta de Vigo ilk, where it's basically a mid-table team that should be pushing for the Europa League places next year. And I think he could get a good number of games at both of those clubs, playing at least half of those games. He has that kind of skill. He's been one of the best statistical players, not just eye test, best statistical players in the Segunda division this year. And I don't think he's going to get enough minutes with Arthur coming in. You'd have to say that he's going to get those appearances that Elenia would get off the bench next season. So I'd hope that Elenia gets away from the club, comes back basically an instant starter at that point.
That's very interesting. There's two examples here. You can be like Sergio Roberto and stay 4 or 5 seasons not playing very much, but actually slowly but surely establishing yourself. Then you've got the Samper situation. You can go out on loan, and then, you know, because you don't really, because you're not owned by the club, it may come to a point that actually the coach doesn't want to play you because the president is saying, actually, I spent 5 million euros for this other guy. I want you to play this other one. Then if you pick out an injury, you know, it can be very damaging. Obviously, there's been successful loans out and players that left and returned, such as Jordi Alba and obviously Gerard Piqué himself. But for me, the Sergio Roberto model is the best one for Alanya because he's got enough quality to pick up games next season. And I would rather him learn alongside everything cross Iniesta, but players like Messi, Coutinho, Suarez, I think that's where he needs to be. But it will come to him to make a decision. But hopefully Valverde sees sense and keeps him with us.
Yeah, I don't want to backtrack, but if it works out the way you're saying, then I'm completely good with that too. I think he's a different kind of player than Samper, where he's better in the Segunda division than Samper was in the third division. And that's, again, no knock on Samper, it's just Elaine's a special talent at Barcelona. So either way, whether he's loaned or stayed, I hope that he winds up being a success. And I think he might even be too good, where something would really have to go wrong for his career to be derailed. And I think he surely, of all the ones to come out of the academy over the last 3-4 years, basically since Roberto, I think he has the best future at the club. Well, that'll wrap up another edition of the Barcelona podcast. Until next time, I'll talk to you soon, and Forza Barça.
Forza!
Santa didn't need 8 reindeer to guide him through the night.
Hey, Mercedes, map me to Kalamazoo.
Okay, mapping the fastest route to Michigan.
Or what if his sleigh could get real-time weather info?
Hey, Mercedes, what's the temperature on the 25th?
22 degrees. Rooftops may be icy.
Mercedes-Benz MBUX technology hasn't made it to flying sleighs, but it's available to you on the A-Class, the GLE, or GLC. And you can get them all for an exceptional price during the Mercedes-Benz winter event.
MBUX Command simulated.
Guys, this year for Christmas, give her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all with soft, silky Nudies pajamas available exclusively at Pajamagram.com. Sensuous and smooth, Nudies pajamas feel just like her own bare skin. Nudies is so seductive, she'll love the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all, and you'll love the way they look. includes free gift packaging and delivery by Christmas is guaranteed. So visit pajamagram.com today. That's pajamagram.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.